بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. To him belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Muhammad is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we will start the classes related to happy marriage. And inshallah, we'll start with the first class, which is related to a question: who is the happy Muslim wife? And in order to know who is the happy Muslim wife and how to be a happy Muslim wife, we will have some points and aspects to revise and to study. Number one, how the Islam honored the woman. Number two, what is the meaning or the definition of happiness? Number three, what is the way to Islamic to marriage happiness or happiness in marriage? Number four, we will start a group of classes related to happy marriage. And inshallah, we'll start the first class today by the topic, which is who is the happy Muslim wife. And inshallah, to study this topic, we will study some aspects. Number one, how Islam honored the woman. Number two, what is the definition of happiness. Number three, what is the way to happiness in marriage. And we will start with how Islam honored the woman. And we have to know that women were treated very badly in the pre-Islamic Arabia. Actually, the women were treated even more worse than the animals, because the women were inherited like the men inherit the animals and the properties. And in order to clarify how the women were treated in the pre-Islamic Arabia, we will read from Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 58 and 59. Surah An-Nahl is chapter 16. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa idha bushira ahaduhum bil untha dhalla wajhuhu muswaddan wa huwa kadhim. Yatawara min al qawmi min su'i ma bushira bih. أيمسكه على هون أم يدسه في التراب ألا ساء ما يحكمون. Allah Ta'ala is saying in the translation, and when the news of the birth of a female child is brought to any of them, his face becomes dark and he is filled with inward grief. He hides himself from the people because of the evil of that whereof he has been informed. Shall he keep her with dishonor or bury her in the earth? Certainly evil is their decision. Actually, from these two ayahs of the Quran, it was clear that when any father whom his wife any husband whom his wife is pregnant, and he was looking for the news to know about the birth, what kind of baby his wife delivered, and when he is given the news of a birth of a female child, His face will become dark and he is filled with inward grief because he is very upset. He doesn't want to have this baby, so he will hide himself from the people because he is feeling that, you know, he is very ashamed that he will be a father of a female. And so he is thinking how he can get rid of this situation. Either he can bury her in the earth while she's alive. He will just bury her in the earth to kill her and to get rid of her. Or he will keep her alive, and this means dishonor for him. And you can imagine how will be the psychological feeling of the female baby or child when she will grow up and she will feel that this is how she is treated in the community or in the society, and how the men, they evaluate her. And actually, if this is the situation, it is clear that death is better than to live this kind of life where she is treated worse than the animals, because sometimes the animals will be more valuable because when they were living in the desert, the animal will be having, they can get a lot of benefit from the animals, maybe more than the women or the females. And also we have to know that if a wife, her husband died, then his relatives will come and they will take all the properties, and they will take her with the property as if she is a property. So this is clarifying to us that the female, and that is to say the women, they don't have any identity and they don't have any rights to be honored or to have their own points of view or to choose anything in this life. And this was the situation in the pre-Islamic Arabia. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, He assigned a date for the females and for the women with the real happiness, a date where the women will be honored and the women will be respected and they will have the real freedom. And this was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the religion of Islam. And the religion of Islam actually is this was the day which was the best day for the women, as Islam treated the women as equal to the men in most of the aspects. And in order to prove this, we will read the surah which is called the chapter in the Quran, which is chapter of the women, chapter 4. And this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make one chapter complete, and actually it is one of the long chapters of the Quran. It is called the chapter of the women, and this is a clarification that Islam honors the women. They are, and also every detailed aspect related to their life is discussed in the Quran and clarified. And the first verses of this chapter is clarifying how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created both men and women from the same soul, and this means that their equality in the origin and their equality also in the identity and also in the reward for the good deeds. Let us read the first ayah of the first verse, that is to say the first verses of chapter the women and surah النساء from the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. صدق الله العظيم. Allah is saying, Mankind, fear your Lord, who has created you from a single soul, and from it created its mate, and from the two of them spread abroad so many men and women. Fear God, in whose name you appeal to one another, and be mindful of your ties of kinship. Indeed, God is ever watching over you. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that He created the man and He created the woman from the same soul. This means that they are halves of one soul, and this means that the two halves of one soul are equal in their they are equal in their ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding all the human being of His ability, in that He created them all from a single person, Adam, peace be upon him, and from him He created His wife Hawa, who was created from Adam's left rib, from his back, and this means that both of them are created from one soul, because Eve is created from Adam, and from them all the human being were created. This means that the men and all the men and all the women are related to the same soul, which is the soul of Adam, and this means that they are all equal as human being regarding their origin. They have the same origin, which is Adam alayhi salam soul. And in the next ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that regarding the reward for the good deeds, the men and the women are also equal. And this is ayah number 97 from chapter number 16, Surah An-Nahl. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer, verily to him we will give a good life in this world with respect and lawful provision, and we shall pay them a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do, that is to say the paradise in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying in this ayah that the male is equal to the female regarding the reward of their good deeds, that is to say both of them, male or female, Allah will give them a good life in this world, and Allah will reward them in proportion to the best of their deeds if they were believers. So in this ayah it is clear that the reward for the good deed in this life and in the hereafter is equal for the male and the female. Man and the woman are equal. So from the first ayah, which is ayah number 1 of Surah An-Nisa, which clarifies that men and women are equal in their origin, and they are both from the same soul, and in this ayah from Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 97, from both of them it is clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Adam and honored Hawa and honored all the creatures, men and women, because all of them are from one soul. Number 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the reward for the good deeds equal for both of them. This means that every one of them has his own identity. And this means that men and women in Islam are equal in that they are honored, both of them. They have the same reward. Every one of them has his own identity. And also, both of them has the right of ownership. This is how Islam honors the woman, and it will be clarified more and more while we are in this class related to the happy Muslim wife, inshallah. And now, inshallah, we will second aspect of our topic today, which is how Islam views marriage. According to Islam, marriage is a blessing and bounty on both the male and the female. That is to say, the man and the woman, the husband and the wife. In Quran, marriage is a covenant or agreement between the husband and the wife. And this is mentioned in the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4, ayah number 21. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And they have taken from you a firm and strong covenant. So there is a covenant between the husband and the wife, and it is a strong one, and it has its own responsibilities on both of them. So marriage is not any... As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4, ayah number 21, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكيف تأخذونه وقد أفضى بعضكم إلى بعض وأخذن منكم ميثاقا غليظا. Could you take it back while you have gone into each other, and they have taken from you a firm and strong covenant. This is the meaning of marriage in Islam. It is a strong and it is a firm covenant. The meaning of this is that it has to be respected by both the husband and the wife. Also, in Islam, in marriage, the woman cannot be forced by anyone for marriage. Her parents can advise her, but no one can force her to marry. She has to agree, or her agreement is a must, and no one has the right to force her. Also, in Islam, the woman has the right to have the mahr. Is the obligatory bridal money given by the husband to his wife at the time of marriage. This is the right of the wife. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 4, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وآتوا النساء صدقاتهن نحلة. And give to the women their mahr with a good heart. So it is the right of the women to have it. No one, her husband, her father, or her brother, has the right to take anything of this mahr except with her agreement. And to clarify this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the same verses, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإن طبن لكم عن شيء منه نفسا فكلوه هنيئا مريئا. The meaning is that, but if they, this is the women or the wife, of their own good pleasure, they agree to give any part to you, take it and enjoy it without fear of any harm, as Allah has made it lawful. So if she wants to give part of it to her husband, he can get it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the wife the right to give it to whoever she wants to give, but she has to agree for that. Also, in Islam, the husband has the duty to spend to spend on his wife. And to know about this, we will read Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, Ayah number 233. So in Islam, the husband has to treat his wife in a good manner, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, Ayah number 19, and أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وعاشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا. And live with them in a good way, and if you dislike them, it may be that you dislike a thing and Allah brings through it a great deal. So it is clear from this ayah that Islam is in Islam the husband has to treat his wife in a good way. Also in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 228, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 28. ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف. الله العظيم. What is the meaning of this ayah? The meaning of this ayah is that and they women have rights over their husbands as regards living expenses similar to those of their husbands over them as regards obedience and respect to what is reasonable. So the women have a right over their husbands and as similar to what their husbands have over them. To summarize from all of these verses, what is the Islamic concept or the Islamic view regarding the marital relationship? Actually, the marital relationship from the Islamic point of view is a relationship based on affection and compassion. It must therefore come into existence on the basis of free choice so that it spreads an atmosphere into which mutual feelings of love, sympathy, and compassion are around. Bearing in mind, it is most fitting that Islam should say to husbands that even if they should dislike their wives, it may well be that the very wives they dislike are of much good to them. The marriage bond or covenant is something to be treasured, not to be served in response to a passing problem. Marriage is a human institution of great importance. It must be viewed very seriously. Its continued existence must not be subject to any hot temper or sudden change. And actually, to give a good example and a practical example of how Islam views marriage as a serious issue is the story provided by Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second Khalifa, who was once approached by a man expressing his resolve to divorce his wife simply because he didn't like her. Umar said to him, "Are families built only on love? Where would you then place loyalty and mutual care?" So, this is Islam. And this is how Islam evaluates marriage. Marriage is a serious issue in Islam. It has a covenant. It has to be respected by both men and women. And every one of them has rights. And every one of them has to respect these rights so that they can live together a life of compassion and a life of peace. This is how Islam viewed the marriage. And also to clarify that Islam is trying to always give a chance for the wives to keep their marriage bond with their husbands. In this ayah which we mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the husbands that if you dislike something from your wife, maybe you dislike it, but still there is a lot of good in your wife. This kind of advice or this kind of warning which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to the husband is to make the husbands to not to take decisions while they are very upset or while they are not in a good mood. This kind of warning will restrain the feeling of anger and until the man has thought coolly about his situation. So it is clear now that in Islam the wife or the women, they have a lot of rights. And we will add also another right which is very important, which is the right of the wife on her husband, that he will be the one responsible for spending on her. And we will read from the Quran, ayah Raqam 233 from Surah Raqam 2, Surah Al-Baqarah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعلى المولود له رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف. The father of the child shall bear the cost of the mother's food and clothing on a reasonable basis. So the husband is the one responsible for the food, the clothing and the housing of his wife. So in Islam, it is the wife whom she has the rights that her husband will spend on her, and her husband will give her the mahr, and her husband has to treat her in a good way, and also she has the freedom of choice to choose her husband. Nobody can force her to choose him, and there is a covenant between them, the husband and the wife, and she has the right to write in that covenant whatever she wants to have in her future life. Islam give her the right to write whatever conditions she wants her husband to follow during their marriage. So alhamdulillah, Islam gives the wife and the women a lot of rights in Islam in marriage. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will mention now some of his ahadith regarding marriage and women. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a man married, he completes one half of his religion. He also said, marriage is a part of my way, and whoever keeps away from my way is not from us. He also said, women are the twin halves of men. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the world and all things are precious, but the most precious thing in the world is a righteous woman. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best property a man can have is a remembering tongue, a grateful heart, and a believing wife who helps him in his faith. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his ahadith, he always warned the husband that they have to treat the wife in a good way. As he said, fear Allah in respect to women. Also, he said, fear Allah regarding women. Verily, you have married them with the trust of Allah and make their bodies lawful with the words of Allah. You have got rights on them and they have got rights over you. And also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, a Muslim must not hate his wife, and if he is displeased with one bad quality of her, let him be pleased with that is with one that is good. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the more civil and kind a Muslim to his family, the most perfect in faith he is. Also he said, treat women kindly. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you is the best to his family, and I am the best to my family. In conclusion, Islam encouraged marriage and reward for it, as it was the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, Islam recommended kind treatment to the wife and considered them the most precious thing in this life. And inshallah, now we'll start discussing the topic of happiness. First, we need to know what is the definition of happiness. Actually, happiness is not a materialistic thing that we can see with our eyes or touch with our hands or keep it in our lockers or buy it with our money. Happiness is an internal feeling of tranquility, security, love, mercy, affection and comfort. And happiness, as it is an internal feeling, it will be reflected on our outside appearance. And the reality of happiness is that the human being whom he is considered happy is the one who is pleased about his self, pleased with himself, and pleased he is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree. This is the reality of happiness. The reality of happiness is that I can consider myself a happy person when I feel that I am pleased with the decree which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for me. Because if I am pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means that I am happy and I am accepting all the situations which I am living in. And if the human being is having this kind of mentality that he is accepting all the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which Allah decreed for him, and he is pleased with his life, this means that he is living a state of internal security, because he has internal peace. He has internal peace because he doesn't have any confliction between himself and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality of the happiness. And how to get this kind of internal security and internal peace, and that there is no internal confliction between what you are looking for and what is decreed, what Allah decreed for you. You can reach this happiness through the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is in control of our hearts. Our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one whom he can give us the happiness inside our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can bestow his comfort, and he can bestow the love and the mercy and the affection and the peace and the security inside our heart and inside ourselves. And Allah can give us the mental peace, and so this is the reality of the happiness. And the question is, how the wife can treat her husband so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with her and will bestow on her heart this kind of happiness? The answer is from Al-Quran al-Kareem, from Surah number 30, Ayah number 21. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قال تعالى ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون قال الله تعالى بسم الله the meaning that and among his signs that he created for you wives from among yourselves so that you may find repose in them and he has put between you affection and mercy verily in that are indeed signs for a people who reflect. And the meaning of this ayah is that it is the mercy and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he created the husbands and the wives from the same soul so that they can find repose in them. So if the wife can find repose in her husband and her husband can find repose in her, this means that both of them will be very close to each other and taking care of each other and trying to give tranquility and peace to each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make between them the mercy and the affection. So the wife has to try to find repose in her husband, and she has also to make her husband to find repose in her, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow the affection and the mercy in her heart and in his heart, and so they can live the happiness which we discussed it before. And also there is another proof and meaning to the same ayah, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarify also to us how to reach this internal happiness in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, Ayah number 187. قال الله تعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن. It means they, your wives, are your garment and you are garment for them. What is the meaning of garment in this ayah? The meaning of the garment, actually, basically, the garment, what are the characteristics of the garment which you choose? You choose a garment which is soft and can be a source of beauty and can be a source of comfort, and also the garment will be very close to your body. It will be a source of protection, and also always we have the garment very close to us. Whenever I need it, I can get it easily. This is how the relation between the husband and wife has to be. They have to be garment for each other, so that if they are garment for each other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow his mercy and affection in the hearts of both of them, because they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their relation together. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rum, Surah number 30, Ayah number 21, he commanded the husband and wife to that they find rebirth in each other. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, Ayah number 187, He commanded them, the husband and wife, to be garment to each other. So if we obey Allah the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the husband and wife become garment to each other, and they find repose in each other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since they obey Him and they follow His commands in their relation together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them by that He will bestow His mercy, the mercy and the affection in the hearts of the husband and in the heart of the wife. So both of them, they will have this kind of feeling towards each other, and this will be the source of happiness in the heart of both of them. So in order to summarize a practical way to have the happiness for the wife, because our topic is related to the wife, we will now have a practical way to reach the happiness, which will help the wife to reach the happiness with her husband. This is a plan which every wife will try to make it that it will be how she will live or how she will plan her relation with her husband. Step number one is that I have to have the intention that my relation with my husband is an act of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me in the Quran, as I clarified now, that my husband has to be, I have to be a garment to my husband. And also, me and my husband, we have to find repose in each other. So I will obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with my intention that I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His commands towards how I treat my husband, so that my relation with my husband will be an act of worship, because I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is an act for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I am looking for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the happy Muslim wife, she will be the one to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between herself and her husband. She will be the one to make her relation with her husband a relation of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her relation with her husband will be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is to say, the reward of all her duties, which she will do it for her husband, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the reward, she will be looking for it only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that in step number two, she will be a wife doing all the duties. She will be the one giving the love and giving the care and taking care of the husband, obeying him, trying to be in the best shape in front of him, trying to give him all the kind of happiness which he is looking for. And she is doing all of this as a kind of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as an act of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She is getting her reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she is not looking for any gift or any nice word from her husband. She is treating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying her husband for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is step number one. What will be step number two? Step number two will be that if the wife have this kind of relation with her husband for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she will feel a lot of internal happiness. Because when you do any deed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will be reflected on the real tranquility and security inside you, because you will have the feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you to do the deeds for His sake, because Allah likes you and Allah wants to reward you. So you will feel that Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making your relation with your husband as an act of worshipping Him, because Allah wants to reward you. So you will have a lot of internal happiness if you make your relation with your husband for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the source, first source of internal happiness from your relation with your husband. The second source is that your husband will feel that you are having a lot of loyalty, and you are a very trustful person, and a very good quality person. The meaning of that is you are treating him in the best shape, not because you are looking for any materialistic reward, but you are treating him in the best shape, whether he will give you a gift or not, whether he will say nice words about you or in front of you or not. Your husband will feel that you are not a materialistic human being, and that you love him for the sake of Allah. That is to say, you love him without looking for any reward from him. This kind of relation make the husband to feel that you are a person whom you are doing the deeds without waiting for any reward. And this is a feeling which every husband likes, and every husband feels very happy and very satisfied that his wife is doing all her duties in the best shape, and she's not looking for anything from him and not asking for anything from him, but she is only looking for Allah's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with her duties and to accept all her effort for his sake. The husband will feel that this is a kind of wife which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is the best pleasure of this life, because she is a wife giving everything, trying everything, doing her best, and not looking for any reward. He will love her wife more, and he will try to be her garment, and he will try to find, to make her to find repose in him, and he will try to give her all the good feelings which she is looking for. And so her husband will try to be in the best shape with her. Accordingly, she is now having internal feeling because she is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Internal happiness because she is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she have more happiness because her husband is trying to show her his love and his mercy and his affection, because he feels that she is a kind of human being whom she's giving everything and not looking to get anything. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the controller of the heart, and this is the most important, Allah will bestow on her heart the happiness, the internal peace, the security, the feeling of comfort, the feeling that she's content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow in her heart all this kind of good feeling because she is obeying him. And if you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will reward you. Allah will reward you with all what you are looking for. And accordingly, she will have all this kind of good feeling. feelings inside her, and also her relation with her husband will be better every day. And this is actually the reality of the happiness. So the way to happiness is that you put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between yourself and your husband. And so you obey all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He commanded you to do it for your husband, and you do all the good deeds to your husband according to Allah's command, looking only for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you treat your husband this kind of treatment, obeying Allah, looking for the reward from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow the real mercy inside your heart through making you to feel content with your life and with your decree, through making your husband appreciating your way you are treating him, through that you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah will take care of you and of your husband, and you will feel in reality that you are living a very good, relaxing life with your husband, and that you and him are very close together because of the affection and mercy and the tranquility and the peace which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on your heart and on your husband's heart. This is actually the way to the real happiness between the husband and the wife. And we will stop here. This is the end of the first class related to how a Muslim wife can be a happy one. And inshallah, in the next class, we will discuss more about this topic. And let us finish the class with the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good, conduct us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a change in your protection. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. O Allah, our Lord, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. O Allah, our Lord, make the best of our life, our last moments. O Allah, our Lord, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the grave. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offsprings comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favor upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his discipline, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.